Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases, and plagues, and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, as I got to share with our children's message before, I hope I'm happy I've primed you to hear this. I want to talk to you today about how much God loves you and how much we can rejoice in that. We have our candles lit here on this stage and our Advent wreath, and we get to the pink candle on the third Sunday in Advent, and it's not just because we got tired of blue or purple and we wanted some pink in here. This day is traditionally called in Latin Gaudete Sunday, or Joy Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. Last week, we talked about repentance and how John had called people to repentance to prepare the way for the Lord. And it's important for us to know that this season of Advent includes some reflection, some penitence, to remember that we are sinners who need our Savior Jesus. But we also want to know that we can rejoice every day that Jesus has come, that God has shown us his love for us, and that he sent his only begotten Son that we might be saved from our sins. He died in our place so that we would have only eternal life to look forward to. We can rejoice. I will say it again, rejoice. I can just quote Paul all sermon long. It'll be great. Of course, when we say rejoice, we know that this time of year can be a difficult time for that for some people. In fact, for all of us at different times. I always have this memory of Christmas just being a wonderful season with great joy and lights and candles and presents and far too many cookies. I say that now, far too many. I never really felt that way when I was younger. But this season of great joy, I know, can also be a season of great sadness for many of us, especially for those of us who are going through the Christmas season, perhaps remembering the death of a loved one who's died recently. Perhaps not everything is joyful, either in our business or in our families or in anything. We know that sadness and depression can sneak in sometimes when we're least expecting it. And as a Southern Californian from the desert, I'm getting used to the darkness here. Of course, I planned to say this on in my message, and now the sun is out outside. Rejoice. I'll say again, rejoice. Thank you for being inside and just looking out at the sun right now. I know it's hard not to just run into it. I understand that this part of the world, again, has more darkness than I grew up with, can feel a little bit like the picture behind me. Sometimes we can feel like we're in darkness, not just literal physical darkness outside, but the darkness of our lives that can tend to creep in. And yet, like the one who's kneeling there, feeling very dark, Christ comes to us and brings us his light, so that when we focus on Jesus, and we think of God's great love for us, when you picture, as I said to the children, that God looks at you with the biggest smile on his face, you know that God is the one who can bring you light and joy and salvation. Your God loves you dearly. In your deepest, darkest times, the times when you are filled with anxiety, the times when you're unsure of what to do next or where to go forward, those times when you don't feel particularly joyful and someone smiles at you and says, Merry Christmas! Those times when you might feel sad, know that you are not on your own trying to deal with this darkness. We believe that God came down from heaven to specifically give you his light and his life, that you might be filled with it all your days, until he would call you home to heaven and your full sinfulness, all of that which would pull you down and fill you with darkness, would be fully removed, and you would just be shining with his glorious light that he's given you. We are so thankful to know our Savior who has come. We're so thankful that John the Baptist prepared the way, calling us to repentance, saying, turn around from that which is pulling you away from God. You may recall last week I said, as we are designed to be with God, we walk away daily in sin. And he calls us to repent, to turn back to him, And it's not that long distance, that long gap. It's like this picture here. When we turn back to God, when we turn towards Him, we see that He's with us every day, every step along the way. He is there to give us His love and His light, even when we don't have any to give ourselves, especially when we don't have any to give ourselves. This season of Advent, this time when we get ready to celebrate Christmas Day, we also have had our readings which help focus us on a time to come in the future. The church has done a pretty good job for the last few, hundred years, couple thousand years, trying to put the words of God into the hands of God's people. I know that we have a lot of people here who work very hard to make that happen each and every Sunday. Taking a look even just at the first hymn we sang, Hark the Glad Sound. It sounds nice and beautiful and happy. In stanza 3, of course, we sang, He comes, the broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasures of His grace to enrich the humble poor. Jesus came to do this for us. He came, yes, to die for our sins, but to show God's great love for us that we might know it every single day, to daily bind us up. When John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus asking, Are you the one to come? Are you the Messiah? Because he sure thought you were. Jesus shows them what to go back and say. He performs miracles. He does all the things that the Messiah was promised to do. He heals the blind. He does all of these things. And he tells them, go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. God wants us to know that He loves us, that the Messiah has come, that salvation is found in His name. And even in our great sadness, rejoice. Know that Jesus is there for you. After we sang in that hymn those great words, we moved into confession and absolution. We said together, we repent. We're sorry for our sin. And then we said shortly after, help us to watch for your love toward us. Help us to see your love toward us that we might rejoice in it. You can rejoice knowing that love is there for you. And I get the privilege as pastor to tell you that. I said right afterwards that forgiveness and reconciliation are offered to us this season of Advent and each new day through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And then I got to speak the wonderful truth of God. Not because I have any special ability or power. That didn't happen on August 25th when I got ordained here. But rather I stand in the position of pastor, as the pastors before who had told me, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven in the very name of God, the name of God which was spoken over you in your baptism, the name of God that was spoken over in one baptism last week and will be three baptisms next week. We're really driving this home here. You are loved. You can rejoice in the fact that you've been brought into God's family. His name has been given to you. And of course, having done all this, we then responded in faith, saying, God loves me dearly. Grants me salvation. God loves me dearly, even me. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, even me. We want to put these words into your hands, into your hearts, into your minds, to know that when you are sad, when anxiety comes, you have this truth given to you. God loves you dearly. He's died for your sins to give you eternal life, and he is with you every day of your life to bind you together and to pick you up in your saddest moments. Now, I also want to take this moment to step aside and say, if you're dealing with depression and anxiety, you can, of course, turn to God, pray, read his word, sing these songs. They're great for us to have. But also, you have a great family here in Christ. Please take any of that depression that would weigh you down. Share it with a brother or sister who is here to care for you. It can be me. It doesn't have to be me. It can be our whole congregation. God continues to work daily, often, through his people, through his church. Please don't keep your sadness or anxiety to yourself and assume that you can handle it or that just in prayer you'll be fine. That is perhaps true. You can pray and read God's word, but that would be neglecting to use all of the wonderful gifts he's given you in dealing with the sadness and depression and anxiety that can come, especially this time of year. Please know that you have a good family here that you can turn to. And it's not a burden. Rather, we rejoice that we have the ability to share love and kindness with others the way we have received it in the past. That's my little aside. Because, of course, I can tell you, rejoice. And again, I'll say rejoice. But I know that there are times when it's hard, and it's great to have a good church family to turn to. Now, I will say, he continues in Philippians 4 when he says rejoice, and says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have said that a few times, I think, at the end of a sermon, so I'm sorry for saying it and then stopping. Fooled you. I wanted to say again, when Jesus answered that question to John the Baptist's disciples, he wanted to show them that he was the Messiah, the one who was sent to do these things, to bring God's love and God's light. And we have paired for this a reading from Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 17 said, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. As you go through the rest of this Advent season into what I understand to be even more dark weather seasons with even more exciting rain, as you go through times that might bring great sadness or anxiety, know that when you see God, when you see him face to face in heaven, you'll see not just his glorious, marvelous light, but you'll see him with a love and a smile and an excitement and exultation over you that will be great rejoicing. God rejoices over you. When you picture God, when you picture Jesus, picture him with a great smile for you, a great love and excitement for you, so that when we say rejoice, you know that you're just taking on the joy of Jesus. He rejoices over you. May you find your joy in him every day. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.